Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our epistle reading from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. In his first inaugural address, President Abraham Lincoln declared, "In your hands, my dissatisfied fellow countrymen, and not in mine, is the momentous issue of civil war. The government will not assail you. You can have no conflict without being yourselves the aggressors. You have no oath registered in heaven to destroy the government, while I shall have the most solemn one to preserve, protect, and defend it." Lincoln made that speech in March of 1861. Already seven states had seceded from the Union. A month later, the first shots of the Civil War would be fired at Fort Sumter. Through 4 years of bloody civil war, Lincoln did successfully preserve, protect, and defend the Union, but the cost was extraordinarily high. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5 million men fought in the Civil War, brother against brother, and nearly 600,000 men did not return from those blood-soaked battlefields. Now, historians will debate probably until the end of time what actually caused the Civil War. Was it states' rights or was it black slavery? Well, to this day, those in the North call it the Civil War. Those in the South call it the War of Northern Aggression. Yet, both sides agree that after the Civil War, the United States emerged with a greater sense of unity than it ever had in its history. Now, like the South in the Civil War, our first parents declared war against God when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Their sin broke the bond of unity and peace between God and His creation. And not only did their sin break the bond of peace and unity between God and man, that vertical relationship, it also broke the bond of peace and unity between man and woman, between mankind. In many countries, to betray your nation, especially during a time of war, is a capital offense punishable by death. Adam and Eve's sin was indeed a rebellion against God. They were traitors, for they sided with Satan. God could have destroyed them in His righteous and just anger. But God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. God's great love for his creation, sinful and fallen though they were, moved him to restore that lost and broken relationship and to restore again the peace and unity between God and man that was lost in the fall. But the cost was great. It was through the suffering and death of Jesus Christ that our Heavenly Father restored unity and peace between Himself and His creation. And in Christ, the Holy Spirit gives and maintains the same unity and peace, not only with God, but between those who are washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, in our text today, St. Paul speaks of both that vertical relationship with God the Father and our horizontal relationship with each other. First, he speaks of that horizontal relationship when he says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Those words, unity of spirit, mean unity that comes from the Holy Spirit. The unity between Christian brothers and sisters is a gift and a working of the Holy Spirit. This unity is spiritual in nature, given to us through our common faith in Jesus Christ. In this common faith, there is one body and one spirit. There is one Lord who alone redeemed us and made us one with God the Father. There is but one faith that proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord. There is but one baptism which the Holy Spirit gives you so that you may be born again into God's kingdom. And there is only one heavenly kingdom because there is only one God and Father of us all. All other religions, all other gods are false. They are the inventions of human imagination. They are the influence of the devil. Only one religion is true. Only one religion has been revealed by God himself and given to human beings, through which God restores peace and unity between himself and mankind. We call this religion the religion of grace. Another word for that religion is Christianity. As God, through his Son, has graciously given us peace and unity with him, so his desire is that his people live in the same peace and unity with each other. So St. Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That simply means to walk in a manner worthy of the one who has called you. God is love, and he has called you to love sinners, to love the imperfect, the same way he loves them. Our spiritual unity, our oneness of body, as Paul describes it, is expressed in the way that we especially love our Christian brothers and sisters. In our Christian life together, we are all called to a life that reflects the attitude of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did not have an attitude of superiority or arrogance, for Jesus left the majesty of heaven and came to this earth with complete humility and gentleness toward us. And so we are called in our Christian walk to have the same complete humility and gentleness toward one another, as Christ graciously bears our sins and forgives us in love. So we are called to graciously bear the sins of one another and to forgive in love. The divine patience and forgiveness that has given us peace and unity with God then is what the Holy Spirit uses to maintain the bond of peace and unity between Christian brothers and sisters. A unity that marks our life in Christ. Now going back to what I said earlier, the spiritual unity and peace that we have on this horizontal plane as brothers and sisters in Christ can't exist unless we first have this unity and peace with our Heavenly Father. But because of our sinful natures, we're not able even to come to God or to know him. As Paul teaches in Romans chapter 3, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. As God had to come down into the Garden of Eden to seek out Adam and Eve, and through the promise of a Messiah to restore peace and unity between himself and them, so God continues to come down to us today in word and sacrament to forgive sins, to create faith, and to restore peace and unity between people and himself today. Jesus united God and man in his body. The incarnation is vitally important to our salvation, because it is through his incarnation, his suffering and his death and his resurrection, that Jesus lived a perfect life and that he died a sacrificial death that atoned for our sins. It was the blood of Christ that Jesus shed that ended our war between God and man. We can pray our Father in heaven because we are one with Christ in faith. When Jesus assumed human flesh, he became our brother. And together with Christ, then, we can call God our Father. Now, God is the Father of all creation, virtue of His creating everything and preserving it. But for Christians, God is our Father because Jesus has restored our relationship with Him. We are no longer enemies of God. We are family. And what's amazing is that in this Christian family, God carries out His plan and His will through us. He proclaims His word through us. He loves the world through us. He gives the forgiveness of sins through the voice of the pastor, and He cares for His people through His people. Is it any wonder that God wants His people to live together in peace and unity? To live lives of love and encouragement? Our faith, our confession, our relationship with other believers, every aspect of our life together reflects this unity and peace that Christ has given to us through His life, death, and resurrection. But in this life, our unity with God and our unity with our fellow believers is faced with many challenges. None of us is perfect, and we won't be perfect until Jesus returns. And so, until Jesus returns, our life together will be fraught with trouble and difficulties. And for this reason, we must strive. We must work hard to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Our vertical relationship with God, our unity and peace we have with God, can be damaged or even destroyed by false doctrine or unrepentant sin, which leads to unbelief. Lincoln said to those southern states, "You can have no conflict without being yourselves the aggressors." The southern states were not kicked out of the Union. They left of their own accord. It's not God who departs from us. It is we who depart from Him in our sin and our unbelief. As St. Paul wrote, all have turned aside. All have turned aside. In our sin, we turn aside from God's word by listening to the culture and seeking peace with the world. We turn aside from worshiping God, and instead we worship the creation, seeking peace with the world. And we turn aside from repentance and seek peace with our sinful nature so that we can have a happier life in the world. The result of our turning aside from God is an erosion of the bond of peace that we have with Him. Without a solid foundation in God's word, we can be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, as Paul says in Ephesians. And the goal of sin and the world and the devil is to destroy the peace we have with God. And if that bond of peace with God erodes, so does our bond of peace with our fellow Christians. For sin begets more sin. Paul exhorts us to be humble and gentle, patient and loving, yet in our sinfulness. Remember, what is sin? But it's just utterly selfishness is what it is. We do the opposite. We are arrogant and unkind to one another with our words and actions. Instead of being patient and showing one another enduring love, we jump to conclusions or we fail to put the best construction on everything. Dishonesty, bitterness, gossip, slander, self-centeredness, an unforgiving attitude or desire for control. All these can create divisions within the church, break the bond of peace, and destroy this Holy Spirit-given unity. Now, while Christ promises that the church will prevail for all time against the gates of hell, He does not give the same promise to each and every local congregation. Most congregations that fail fail from within. When God's people lose their zeal for God's word and for one another and allow the unity of the Spirit to be destroyed through apathy or unloving behavior, unkind words, selfish attitudes. So it takes love and work and forgiveness to maintain the spirit of unity and the bond of peace, especially when a voters' meeting doesn't go your way, or you don't like the pastor, or you're having a conflict with another member of the church. It is not easy to follow Christ in this world. It takes work, hard work, to be a Christian and love your neighbor as yourself. But that power to love and work and forgive in Christ's church is yours because Christ strives with you to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Looking back on verse 1 of our text, it is not we who are by nature worthy of this calling. It is the calling that has made us worthy to be followers of Christ. And in this calling, the Holy Spirit has given each of you the gifts to do your part, to build up the body of Christ, and to maintain the unity and the peace that Jesus has won and given to us through His Holy Spirit. Our great calling as Christians is to love God with all of our being, but also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we do this through the forgiveness of sins. We do this through love. And we're able to do this because Jesus has empowered us to be humble and gentle, patient and loving. And to remember that we too need forgiveness just as much as our fellow believers. The blood of hundreds of thousands of men was poured into the soil of this nation to preserve this nation. Yet this country will fade into history just like all the other great societies that have come before it. But the blood of Christ poured out on Calvary will preserve the peace and unity of Christ's church for all eternity. We are assured by Christ Himself that His bride, His body, His church will prevail until the end of time. And so onward we march as Christian soldiers, united against the assaults of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, because we are united by the blood of Christ. We are bound together by the love of God, and we live in that one hope that belongs to our call, to live in peace with God, now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will the congregation please rise?